It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll give you some ideas for what to listen to when you need a break from jingle bells.
First, according to new research out this week, lakes across the globe are warming, and they're doing it at a rate that's faster than ocean and air temperatures. And that's raising some serious questions about the future of the world's lakes and the humans and animals that rely on them.
The research also found that lakes in northern climates seem to be warming faster, Lake Superior being one that's of particular interest to Wisconsin residents. So what could a warmer Lake Superior mean for us, and is this warming trend reversible?
Jay Austin is with us now. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth Large Lakes Observatory, and he's co-author of the new study on rising lake temperatures. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Veronica. Thanks for having me on.
So from what you found, how quickly are lakes across the world warming?
There's a wide range of warming rates. And let me say to start that I'm one of 60 authors on this paper, so this is a big collaborative effort. And the idea here is that lots of us in the lake community or lake research community have been publishing papers for a while now looking at the fact that individual lakes are warming at different rates. This was the first time where lots of us got together and brought data on over 200 lakes to look at not just rates of warming, but what sort of things lakes had in common with each other and what sort of characteristics of lakes made them more or less prone to warming. So we had anything from lakes that aren't really significantly warming, even lakes that are cooling a tiny bit, very, very few of those, to lakes that are warming up to a degree Celsius per decade or about 2 degrees Fahrenheit per decade.
And it turns out that lakes are a pretty good bellwether for climate change. How come?
Because lakes, so most of what we know about climate change, or a great deal of what we know about climate change from the instrumental record, we know from air temperature measurements. Air temperature varies rapidly. As a weather system blows through, as we're all well aware, the temperature can increase or decrease by many degrees Celsius. Lakes, because they're made of water in some sense, are sort of a low-pass filter or have a smoothing effect on that, and so they change much more slowly and end up being a very robust measurement of what the climate is like at a particular location on the landscape.
So you said there are some lakes that are not warming very quickly or just a very few that are cooling, but in general, you're seeing warming here. And what is driving that warming?
Well, the warming is consistent. What we're seeing is consistent with the idea that global air temperatures have been increasing over the last century or so. And you've presumably been keeping up with the goings-on in Paris over the last few weeks. The consensus among scientists who study this stuff is that increases in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are leading to increased air temperatures, and those in turn are leading to this increase, this slow but steady increase we're seeing in lake water temperatures.
Now, a lot of people get concerned when we talk about changes to the oceans, when we hear about acidification and rising temperatures, because we know these are huge bodies of water that affect the climate of the world, really.
Sure.
Why should we worry about lakes? They're not as large as the oceans. Why do we need to be concerned?
Well, we can think about this two ways. One is we can say that lakes, the fact that we've been able to document these warming trends in hundreds of lakes around the world is another piece of evidence that this warming really is going on. Okay, so these are data sets that have been collected independently by dozens and dozens of scientists over many, many years, but they all tell us roughly the same thing. Why we should be concerned about it is that temperature, to a large extent, is one of the sort of driving variables for ecosystems within these lakes. So if you talk to a biologist or an ecologist about how these lakes work, all of these linkages between various elements of an ecosystem are always going to be heavily dependent on temperature. So nutrient uptake rates or metabolisms or even the range of temperatures that fish are comfortable at or that they want to spawn at are all really strong functions of temperature.
We're talking to Jay Austin right now from the University of Minnesota, talking about a new study looking at rising lake temperatures across the world and why Lake Superior is warming faster than other lakes. Now, when we talk about rising temperatures, what sort of temperature change are we talking about here?
We're talking about a couple degrees Celsius over the course of many decades. So again, there's an enormous amount of interannual variability from year to year, and we've seen that especially over the last few years here in the upper Midwest. 2014, the year of the polar vortex, a tremendously cold year, just off the charts as far as cold. But also 2012, which was the warmest year that we've seen with regards to lake temperatures since we've been keeping records. So the total amount of variability in summer water temperatures is on the order of maybe 15 or 20 degrees Fahrenheit. It's quite large.
Now, what about
let me back up and say that's the difference between the maximum and minimum temperatures we've seen over the last maybe 30 years. Over the last 30 years, average summer water temperatures in Lake Superior are somewhere between 4 and 5 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than they were 30 years ago.
4 or 5. Now, that's getting you. If you talk about a degree or two, you think, well, it's a degree or two. It seems kind of negligible, maybe not to a scientist. But if you're sticking a toe into the water, you may not notice. But 4 or 5 degrees, you do start to notice. How significant is that?
Let me give you an example. I have a graduate student here working on his PhD. He recently put together a bunch of data on ice cover and winter air temperatures. And the difference between a year where we have lots of ice on the lake, where we have, you know, an impact on the shipping season, and we have lots of ice fishing here in Duluth, and people are recreating on the ice, and a year with basically no open lake ice, which, for instance, like 2012, the difference between a year with loads and loads of ice and a year with very little ice can be due to a difference in air temperature of as little as 1 to 2 degrees Celsius, or about 3 or 4 degrees Fahrenheit. So these small differences that they were, as you said, they sound small, but they can have, these systems can be very, very sensitive to even these small changes in air and water temperature.
Now, Lake Superior is notorious or celebrated, depending on your point of view, for being an especially cold, clear northern lake.
Yes.
What does that temperature have to do with the character of Lake Superior and its health?
Well, I think that, I mean, part of what really defines the culture, if you want to put it that way, around Lake Superior is that it is partially ice-covered in the winter. And so that's part of what makes Lake Superior Lake Superior and what makes Duluth Duluth and the rest of the Northland, for that matter. And so, again, we're talking about a very specific lake here and ice specifically, but it is part of what gives the lake its character. I think one of the interests, I'm going to go back to ice for a second here, one of the really interesting results out of this study, one nice thing about the study, of course, is that we're not concentrating on one particular lake. We're looking at 235 lakes, I think, in this study, and we can look for commonalities. And one of the most interesting trends that we were able to extract out of this large set of data was that lakes that typically form ice in the winter have significantly higher rates of warming than lakes that don't. And so lakes that are warm or are in warm or tropical climates are warming slower than lakes that typically have ice on them in the winter.
Why would that be?
Well, we've done some work here at Duluth several years ago, myself and a colleague of mine named Steve Coleman, who's recently retired, looking at the linkages between ice formation in the winter and the resulting summer water temperatures in the subsequent summer. And that ice cover, in some sense, acts as a cap. It reflects sunlight away that would normally go into warming up the water, so that when suddenly you take that ice away in the winter, when we have milder winters and we don't have as much ice, the lake is able to absorb a lot more sunlight in the late winter and early spring. And it turns out that those actually lead to significantly warmer summers. I'm not saying that that's the mechanism that's responsible for all of these ice-covered lakes, but it is one potential mechanism that I think we're going to be exploring now on a much more broad basis.
Well, one question here, can we turn this around, change these temperatures and try to normalize them such as it is?
I think that's what people were trying to do in Paris over the last couple of weeks. So that's a hard question, and I don't do policy or anything like that, and so it's difficult for me to have a really informed opinion on that. But yeah, I mean, this is part of the challenge that we face right now.
As you said, you're not a policymaker; you're a scientist. But is there a message as a scientist that you'd like to get out to the people who do make decisions about climate change policy?
that these systems are sensitive even to very small changes in temperature. And just because, like you said, you know, 2 degrees Fahrenheit or 5 degrees Fahrenheit doesn't sound like a whole lot, when we consider how complex these systems are, and often how fundamentally dependent they are on temperature, even those small changes are worth paying attention to.
Jay, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Veronica.
That was Jay Austin, professor at the University of Minnesota Duluth Large Lakes Observatory. He joined us to talk about rising lake temperatures across the world and why Lake Superior is warming faster than others.